Hello and welcome to another exclusive SearchDataManagement.com podcast. Today we're bringing you 15 good minutes on master data management. I'm Jameson Cush, assistant editor, and I'm here with news writer Hannah Smalltree.
Hi there.
So master data management, what are we going to be talking about today, Hannah?
Well, master data management, often called by its initials MDM. In this podcast, we'll grill expert David Lotion and give you some real-life examples of master data management in action. We'll also talk about how to successfully get funding for MDM.
Sounds like a plan. Can you give us a basic definition of master data management?
Sure. Master data management is a way of unifying disparate data across an organization. So, for example, there might be a customer record in a sales database and another similar record in an accounting database. Are they the same customer? The different customer? Who's the main contact? How are its subsidiaries related? So companies often see this kind of problem with customer data, but it can also happen with product data or accounting data or really any kind of data. So master data management is a discipline that combines people, process, and technology. That's important, to create and manage master data records. But that's just my very high-level view. There are many different approaches to MDM and lots of things to consider.
I think I'm beginning to understand.
For a more professional definition, I called on expert David Lotion. He's the president of Knowledge Integrity, Inc., a consulting company based in Maryland that focuses on customized information management solutions. David is a frequent speaker and writer and has authored two books, Enterprise Knowledge Management, The Data Quality Approach, and Business Intelligence, The Savvy Manager's Guide. David knows quite a lot about this topic because Knowledge Integrity provides an MDM assessment and strategy development service and has worked with public and private sector organizations on their master data management programs.
Hannah, it's a pleasure to have the opportunity to talk with you.
Well, David, can you tell us how you define master data management in, say, 100 words or less?
What I'm going to do is kind of borrow from some of the other experts in the industry, and here's the definition that I've been using as my working definition is master data management, not necessarily a technology or shrink wrap product, it's more the business applications, methods, and tools that implement the policies, procedures, and the infrastructure supporting capture, integration, and the subsequent shared use of accurate, timely, consistent, and complete master information.
Is there a way you can boil it down even more if you had 10 seconds with a CEO?
I would say master data management is the process and policies for synchronizing multiple variant copies of the numerous information objects that your business cares about into one master shared repository.
So why are so many people talking about master data management today? Haven't companies gotten along just fine for years? What's new or different about this technology or process?
I think what's new about it is that people are recognizing that just buying technology without having the proper preparation within the organization for exploiting both the technology and what can be discovered through that technology, along with the management techniques for ensuring that the value of the results is ensured, that in the past there's been this technology-driven approach to solutions, silver bullet solutions. You might say that CRM has been a process or a tool that hasn't lived up to its buzz. I think what's interesting about master data management is that people and organizations at a high level are recognizing that the governance and the policy aspects of exploiting valuable information as an asset, that we've got that recognition at the high level, and so there's more of an imperative to make it work.
Let's just put this in a business perspective and talk about how master data management might be used in an organization. First, what does the problem actually look like? How does it manifest when you have a master data problem?
It's endemic across most industries. Typically, this is kind of been the result of the technological advancements in hardware over the last 20 or 30 years, and that, you know, originally we all had time-shared our operational systems on one mainframe, yet as smaller department-level computers became affordable at a smaller budget item, you've gotten your segregation of activity based on siloed line of business associated with each department. So now you've got a finance department and a sales department and a marketing department and a customer service department, and they all need to interact with customers. So because they're all distributed, each one of those systems embeds applications and underlying database structures to capture information about customers. Yet they're only capturing the information that's relevant for their particular operational activities.
So in a way, all of these systems that we've built, specialty systems over the years, they're actually kind of hindering us now.
Well, I think that what is being seen is that as we want to move towards aggregating our information for analytical purposes, we are finding that the roadblock is that we can't get a handle on who's who, and that, you know, all of a sudden we realize that some of our customers actually work for the same company, or some of our vendors are customers also, or some of the people that we sell to are providing components for the things that we make that we sell to them. And so what they're finding is not just that they can't keep track of their customers, but they can't even keep track of who the individuals are and how they're related and how that those relationships are relevant to achieving our own organization's business objectives.
If a company then put in a master data management solution, how would that solve their problem?
Well, since the objective of master data management kind of focuses on the fact that you've got variant copies or you've got replicated copies of what you believe to be the same information or similar information about your customers or your products or your policies or your claims or whatever industry you're in, because of the fact that there are different copies, there's bound to be inconsistencies. So the objective of a master data management is to resolve some of that inconsistency so that you've got agreement across your different applications. And so a master data management program would involve all sorts of things, much more complex than just integrating or aggregating data from different systems, but rather being able to more effectively have a process for understanding what those objects are and what are the business terms that we use to describe those objects and whether there's differences in understanding and semantics across different applications and how we can merge through a governance structure, merge our information into a single shared representation that from which we can then derive the benefits of analytical systems or even embedding analytics within our operational systems. An example is in a bank, you've got accounts that have been opened by people over time, yet these accounts sometimes embody representations of different kinds of core party objects that are not necessarily people. So you might have a trust account that is being managed by a trustee on behalf of some charity. Or you might have an account which is parents' account that is held as a gift to minors account. And typically when you look at some of this information that is stored in the account name, you'll find sometimes not just a single person's name. You might find two people and an organization or three or four different people. Or you might discover relationships that exist, Mr. and Mrs. John Smith. Well, that establishes a marriage relationship between two people associated through that account. On the other hand, we may end up with, in the retail sales department, we have question of customers. Who are our customers? Now, customers open accounts, yet accounts don't necessarily map one-to-one to customer. And when you are in account management or relationship management, yet you might focus on the account as the customer while the salesperson is looking at the individual who's looking to put their money into the bank as the customer. So what we've got is two different situations. One is you've got the existence of a word, customer, that has two different meanings because they're in the different context, business context, they actually refer to different kinds of things. On the other hand, what you've got is the existence of multiple individual entities embedded within what you might desire to have represent only a single person.
You know, I've heard this thing about having multiple definitions of customer a lot. What's the most definitions of customers you've ever encountered at an organization?
Well, let me give a different example, which is from the federal government. In variant legislation, regulations, in one of our examples, we've tracked down 12 different definitions for the word state.
For the word state?
State, yes.
Which you'd think would be pretty straightforward.
Right. Well, you would think that, you know, we're the United States of America, so when there's legislation that refers to a state, you might think it's one of those 50 things that make up or compose the 50 United States. Yet, sometimes a state is intended to refer to United States states and territories. Sometimes a state refers to only the 48 contiguous states of the United States, not Alaska and Hawaii. Sometimes it refers to tribal entities.
So I'm beginning to really see how the problem could cause a big problem.
Well, it's because we're human and our human ability to distinguish meaning or even obscure it to achieve our own goals doesn't translate into computers. And so when I look at the word customer and I'm doing my daily job, I know what that means. But when the president of the company who needs to report on the number of customers they've got because that's part of his requirement for Sarbanes-Oxley compliance, he having a personal risk of having to go to jail perhaps for reporting information that's not correct. He really wants to know how many customers we have, and he's got a specific idea what customer means. So we've got different risks that are created by our inability to have a common understanding of what our business terms mean.
A lot of vendors are talking about their master data management products, and without naming names, do most of the technology products solve the problem in the same way, or are there different technology approaches?
I would say that there are definitely different approaches, and what's interesting is to note at the evolution of some of these products, there's conceptually, we can think of a spectrum of a way of solving the problem of sharing a master copy of data. One extreme is creating a single repository that acts as a service to all applications and becomes the single repository for the back end of all your applications and replaces that componentry within a legacy application. So on the other spectrum, we use middleware to obfuscate the distribution of that data across the board. All the solutions need to have some kind of integration. They definitely need to have some kind of data quality component, and they need to have some kind of mechanism by which they're sharing across the enterprise through some kind of key or some kind of service. So no, they don't solve the problems in the same way. Some of them take a hub approach. Some of them take an infrastructure approach. And a lot of the decisions that are made as to which one you're going to take, I think really rely on what your embedded business requirements are.
But you've said this from the beginning. It's not just about putting in technology and calling it a day, right? I mean, there's other things that you need to do.
I think that the key to success in master data management is governance. And I think that that's what is going to distinguish this from previously failed three-letter acronymed technologies is the fact that you're putting some accountability and responsibility into the use of the information that is stored within your infrastructure because it somehow rolls into the achievement of your organization's business goals. And when you've suddenly got business people involved, it's no longer being driven by technologists, which we talked about as being one of the failures of some of the previous approaches at doing similar things. It becomes a business objective. It's business driven, which means that somebody actually cares about total cost of ownership. Somebody's looking at what performance criteria are for success and putting in some metrics in place that are actually measurable and reportable. So these things kind of tie in both at the analytical and contributing to organizational analytics, but also rely on it as well to be able to report success.
You're talking about technology, you're talking about processes, you're getting IT and business together. This sounds like a really time-consuming process. Does it take a long time to implement master data management?
Well, not to burst anybody's bubble, but I think that anything that sincerely involves changing the way we do business, which I believe master data management will, doesn't happen overnight. It requires some vision, it requires strategy, and it requires the ability to articulate the tactics to achieve interim success that's relevant within particular frameworks or applications, but have that all be contributory to an overall strategy of changing the way that people do business.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today, David. If you'd like to learn more about David Lotion or contact the company, Knowledge Integrity is based in Maryland, and you can learn more on their website, knowledge-integrity.com.
That was really helpful. Now, for people who want to put this into their organization, how do they go about organizing and getting funding for MDM? How do I go about building a business case for MDM, Hanna?
Well, I wrote an article about this called Building a Business Case for MDM, and I talked to some experts and some users. First of all, our experts and users remind us that MDM is a technique, not a tool. Just like David said earlier, it's a set of processes and technology. So an effective business case needs to take that into account. Companies should budget for data governance overhauls and change management along with new software. Next, like everything, it's really important to align MDM with strategic business goals. So don't call it an infrastructure upgrade. That's speak. Call it a strategic business initiative or show how MDM supports the business. For the article on building a business case, I talked to the director of IT for Carlson Hotels Worldwide, and he told me that the marketing vice president was the main executive sponsor. The IT group demonstrated how MDM could help the marketing department with its customer segmentation and loyalty programs. So kind of an unlikely sponsor for a tech initiative, but that's where you're going to find it. An AMR analyst I talked to said it can be really hard to get MDM signed off as a standalone project, so the more you can tie it to other business problems or goals, the better chance you have of getting the funding you need. And of course, there's compliance and Sarbanes-Oxley. It's important to consider the consequences of not addressing master data problems like incorrectly stating your assets or your number of customers. There are huge risks associated with inconsistent data. So MDM can really be a necessity for companies that are required to comply with different regulations. So those are the highlights. There's more good information in that article, so listeners should check that out on the website.
That sounds great. And for our listeners, you can definitely find that link to that article, along with sample chapters, expert advice, learning guides, all on our site, www.searchdatamanagement.com.
It's all there. And listeners, if you have any ideas for podcasts, for stories, case studies, or just any questions you'd like to hear answered, you can reach us anytime via email. All of our addresses are right on the site. So do you feel like you understand MDM more now, Jameson?
I do. And do you?
For sure. So signing off from Search Data Management, I'm Hannah Smaltry, news writer.
And I'm Jameson Cush, Assistant Editor. You've been listening to a good 15 minutes on Master Data Management from searchdatamanagement.com. Have a great day.